Welcome to Health Conspiracy Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Nick Brandigan, coming to you live, 5 a.m. Las Vegas time, because that's just how I roll. Six live shows a week, my friends, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Sometimes I stop it a little early, but usually a full hour on my new Blog Talk Radio channel, blogtalkradio.com/hcradio.com. Hey, one day I'm going to update healthconspiracy.com to give all the details there so you can send your friends to Health Conspiracy Radio. And these episodes end up being streamed on iTunes in addition to the Natural News Radio Show, which is every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, or excuse me, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our new show, Health Conspiracy TV, which is filmed every Thursday night. The video version comes out every Sunday morning in addition to the audio version, which you can stream to healthconspiracy.com and iTunes. And this week I'm even going to do the audio on the Blog Talk Radio channel. But that show in particular and the Natural News Show never is guaranteed to make this Blog Talk Radio channel. So you want to make sure you check out healthconspiracy.com. Sign up for the newsletter, please, to stay up to date on that. And the link to the Health Conspiracy TV is on that website as well. Today we're going to be talking about the CalorieCon Exposed and fasting and intermittent fasting. I'm going to talk about my personal take and experience and fasting goals, and is it good or bad? Well, I just told you that maybe I do it or I have goals for it, so maybe it's good. But some people are saying it's bad. But we're going to talk about that. Before the show starts, just a reminder that it is brought to you by LasVegasHomeopathy.com and GetVeggies.com. Interview with Dr. Soumya Sridharan from LasVegasHomeopathy.com for Health Conspiracy TV will be available Sunday. You can find out all about what she does. She is absolutely the smartest person in alternative health that I know. And she, if you live outside of Las Vegas, hit her up for a Skype consultation. She reverses autism in autistic children, ones that have gotten that from vaccine-related damage as well. So we have a great interview with her that will be available this Sunday. But don't wait. LasVegasHomeopathy.com is the website. You can also go to healthconspiracy.com and do a search for Soumya, S-O-W-M-Y-A, Dr. Soumya Sridharan, and hear some of her past interviews. GetVeggies.com is the website for Vegas Valley Organics, and I encourage you, if you live in the Las Vegas Valley area, to go check them out for the only certified organic fruits and vegetables available in Las Vegas through a CSA program. That's Community Supported Agriculture. They are starting home delivery for a select number of zip codes. And if you go to Facebook.com/GetVeggies, you can see all of my vlogs that I've done for them. I'm up to close to 25 now, so that's pretty exciting for me personally. Show starts now. This is Nick Brandigan. You are listening to Health Conspiracy Radio.
Is there a health conspiracy? You can bet your bottom dollar. Genetically modified food, poison in your tap water, toxic, tainted, and abused meat and dairy. Ingredients of mass destruction. Poisonous pesticides and herbicides. Deep psychological propaganda. Food that makes your children go crazy. Do you think the FDA is meant to protect you? And just what in the world are they spraying in the skies? You have been a victim of mass programming. But it's never too late. Learn how to successfully make changes that last, leading you to a new life of health and vibrancy that most will never experience. Over the next hour, allow Nick Brandigan to share with you his research, expertise, and life experience. This is Health Conspiracy Radio.
Right, so we're going to start with an article from foodbabe.com. Now, first of all, what I like about her website is that she reminds me that there's people that still might think Subway is healthy and still think that, hey, I got a men's health book or women's health and fitness book, and they said have this whey protein powder because of this, blah, blah, blah. That people are still caught in that illusion of health that the mainstream health diet industry betrays. And I should know this because I was there for many, many years. In my early teens, I would read all the men's health book. I was big on a book called The Abs Diet by the editors of Men's Health, who also in turn put out that god-awful pile of crap book series known as Eat This, Not That. But they say don't have the Ben and Jerry's because it has 20 grams of saturated fat. Get the Häagen-Dazs because it only has 10. Huh. That's like saying, hey, instead of getting punched in the nose and getting a broken nose, get punched in the forehead. Because it would just be, instead of getting a broken nose, you have a big lump on your head. Hey, men's health, and Eat This, Not That. How about instead of getting punched at all, I get a back rub? And that's the difference between the conventional mainstream diet industrial complex and alternative health. So, article titled The Weight Loss Secret the Food Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. If I had known about this weight loss secret about the food industry, or if I had known about this weight loss secret the food industry doesn't want you to know about, I would have saved myself a ton of heartache, frustration, and yo-yo dieting. It makes me incredibly sad that people out there are doing whatever it takes to get healthy, thin, and look their best, but instead are facing an uphill battle because of what the food industry has done to our food and the way they are marketing it to us. I do need to cover food marketing more because this is a really big topic. I'm learning some pretty interesting things. To digress for a second, an example, I haven't heard this or read this book, but my friend has an audiobook called Brandwashing. And he talks about, in the book, this is what he told me, but they talk about when you go into a store, what is the first thing you see typically when you walk in that store? Flowers. You go into Whole Foods, you go in Smith's, Sprouts, Trader Joe's, Fresh and Easy, all these stores. I rotate between all of them. You see fresh flowers, and apparently that gives, subconsciously, that gives the impression of freshness. Ah, everything in here is fresh. And the other thing to do is when they show a commercial of fruits or an advertisement of fruits or they spray the produce going in, that wet look gives it a illusion of freshness too, and actually it doesn't do anything for the vegetables, supposedly. So the point is that I should cover food marketing more. But continuing with the article, we've all seen the 100-calorie portion size snacks at the grocery store and packaged diet foods labeled as low-calorie zero line the shelves. I personally know many people that crack open a Diet Coke in the morning and again throughout the day, and I think that because it is zero calorie, it is the same as drinking water. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not. Yeah, Diet Coke is awful. It's designed to make you addicted to it. It has awful aspartame in it. It causes a whole host of neurological problems within the body. The body does respond in a way that will make you heavier, make you gain weight because of the way the brain responds to it. It causes you to eat more. Tons of studies on this. Look it up. Oh, and again, not to digress too much, I was in Fresh and Easy the other night, and I saw green cans of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola Life, made with real cane sugar. Hey, you know what? I'm going to look that up after this article because that was interesting to me, and I just remembered it. But back to the article. Many people believe that it really doesn't matter where your calories come from. As long as you don't eat too many of them, you're on the right track. However, I see things differently. When planning a meal, the thought, how many calories does this contain, rarely crosses my mind anymore. I don't count calories on a regular basis, and you shouldn't have to either if you start reading ingredient lists. And again, this is at foodbabe.com. if you happen to be listening to the live show, I post the show notes on healthconspiracy.com and on the Blog Talk Radio channel about usually by 10, no later than 10 a.m. PST. So all the links for everything I talk about will be available there. So first we have a, now we have a image of Healthy Choice, Diet Coke, 100 calorie packed Twinkies. 100 calorie packed Twinkies, because Twinkies are, if you get them and it's only 100 calories, then it's good for you. Or at least that's what these god-awful demons in these food marketing departments want you to believe. What else is pictured here? Fiber 180 calories per serving. Most people eat the whole box, so that goes out the window. 100 calorie popcorn, butter, vanilla mint, skinny cow, ice cream sandwiches, Greek yogurt 100, smart ones, that's too small to really see, chewy 90 calorie Quaker oat, granola bars, and the infamous Diet Snapple. I don't know why Diet Snapple would be infamous. But anyhow, not all calories are created equal. For example, I can eat one Twinkie loaded with GMOs, high fructose corn syrup, artificial colors, polysorbate 60, partially hydrogenated oil, and it'll be 135 calories. On the other hand, I can choose to eat a larger pear full of fiber, phytonutrients, copper, vitamins, vitamin C, and still ingest 135 calories. Which would you choose? For me, it's an easy choice. Now, this is something I one of the points I talk about in The Health Conspiracy and How to End It, this now unavailable audiobook. And the comparison I made was, I think, like 12 Ritz crackers and a Pepsi versus an avocado and celery sticks. Same calories, big difference on the way your body handles those calories. And of course, next thing in the article is your body treats calories differently depending on the source. Dr. Darius Mozafarian, a medical doctor, has studied how different types of foods are digested by the body and their association with weight gain. He says, although calories release the same amount of energy in a laboratory, the human body is much more complex. According to Dr. Mozafarian, and I apologize if I'm saying the name wrong, in the New York Times, the evidence is very clear that not all calories are created equal as far as weight gain and obesity. If you're focusing on calories, you can easily be misguided. This belief is echoed by Dr. Mark Hyman. It is true that in a vacuum, all calories are the same. 1,000 calories of Coke and 1,000 calories of broccoli burned in a laboratory will release the same amount of energy. But all bets are off when you eat the Coke or the broccoli. These foods have been processed by your metabolism, not a closed system. Coke and broccoli trigger very different biochemical responses in your body, different hormones, neurotransmitters, and immune messengers. The Coke will spike blood sugar and insulin and disrupt neurotransmitters, leading to increased hunger and fat storage, while the 1,000 calories of broccoli will balance blood sugar and make you feel full, cut your appetite, increase fat burning. Same calories, profoundly different effects on your body. Just to give a shout-out to Dr. Mark Hyman, one of the initial audio programs or audio books that I listened to really get my health on track was his book, Ultra Metabolism. You know, all these years later, I don't agree with most of it, or excuse me, I don't agree with some of it, but overall, I agree with most of it, and it's something that I would highly recommend anyone who's looking to get a change going. It was that, Raw Life Energy Force. I want to say the author of that is Natalia Rossi or Natalie Rossi, and I don't know. Forgive me for getting that wrong. I don't know why I've never tried to get her as a guest on this show. And, you know, say what you want about them, but Kevin Trudeau's Natural Cures, They Don't Want You to Know About, were all the first three books that really started to shape a new view on how I viewed food and dieting and health. So continuing with the article, so many of us have been misled about the food industry, so many of us have been misled and the food industry doesn't want you to know the truth. When I realized junk food companies were teaching and catering to health professionals, I was horrified. And some responsible dietitians are horrified as well. There's a long list of companies and industry associations that are accredited to teach continuing education courses to registered dietitians, including General Mills, Kraft, and PepsiCo. On Coca-Cola's educational website, beverageinstitute.org, that's a joke, they provide free accelerated educational programs on GMOs, low-calorie sweeteners, and weight loss to nurses, dietitians, health educators, and other health professionals. If that isn't a conflict of interest, I don't know what is. Coca-Cola recently stated in 2014 alone, the number of courses completed by RNs, RDs, pharmacists, and other HPs exceeded 300,000, and today more than 40,000 nurses know more about the safety and benefits of low-calorie sweeteners as a direct result of these programs. Yo, that is frightening right there. Nurses know the benefits of low-calorie sweeteners? Are you freaking kidding me, man? Their courses advocate the use of low-calorie artificial sweeteners and indicate that cutting calories is the key to managing your weight, regardless of where those calories come from. They obviously hope that their educational programs will encourage health professionals to recommend their low-calorie foods to future patients who are trying to lose weight. It's great advertising for these junk food companies, and it works. Some registered dietitians are telling people it's okay to eat a Hostess cupcake if they're in a 100-calorie pack, and go ahead and eat Taco Bell if it's fresco style. This would be funny if it wasn't true. Yeah, I agree with that one right there. And all these two, everything she's saying here is linked up. So, like, as I'm reading this, I'm hovering over the links. So the It's Okay to Eat Hostess Cupcakes goes to a WebMD article titled 17 Best Food for Dieters and the Teaching and Catering to Health Professionals, you know, goes to a McDonald's sponsored nutrition convention and Lessons Salt Dietitian Chip Makers for another website. But anyway, this is all linked up, so you know, what I'm probably going to do is a follow-up show for tomorrow or next week is actually click a lot of these links and go directly to these articles and really, you know, do my part to further follow up on this great article here. The research behind these programs are largely funded, sponsored by junk food companies themselves and nonprofit industry groups such as the International Food Information Council, the International Life Sciences Institute, and the Calorie Control Council, all the while independent research is suppressed. It has been shown that industry-funded nutrition research is often biased with implications to public health, as put by Marion Nestle, a nutrition professor and author. Sponsorship is almost invariably predicts the results of the research. Results are highly likely to favor the sponsor's interests. The companies are not buying the results, although sometimes it seems that way. Instead, it seems to me that researchers who are willing to accept grants from food companies tend to be less critical about the way they design their studies. I often notice that sponsor studies lack appropriate, rigorous controls. As a rule, corporate funding discourages critical thinking or promotes uncritical thinking about the importance of individual foods and nutrients in healthful diets. Sponsored studies have only one purpose, to establish a basis for marketing claims. They are not carried out to promote public health. It's funny, recently I read an article, pretty awful article. Don't remember the website. I want to say something weird like sugarpop.com or popsugar.com. But anyway, it was something like 15 health myths exposed, and one of them was myth number 5, diet soda's bad for you. And I don't know why I talk in that voice. I just do sometimes. Please forgive me. And it linked to a study, and someone in the comments said, if you click on the link in the study, it says, this study has been fully funded by the Beverage Association, I forget the exact organization, but the Beverage Association, hashtag fail. So, you know, I've cited studies in my work, and I became an advocate for non-GMO dieting, you know, precisely because I read studies. You know, I started with Jeffrey Smith's information, and I moved on to gmwatch.org, and I read the studies, and I looked who funded the studies, and I understood the studies. Now, the actual process of the studies can be a lot of science jargon, which could be difficult for the layman to understand, but for the most part, the results are, you read them, and they're easy, and you could, you know, go through and say, oh, these rats that were fed the GMO soy had blue testicles and heart and kidney issues versus the rats that ate the non-GMO soy didn't have that. So, but the point I'm getting at is a study is pretty much worth who it's funded by. So I know we live in this fast-paced, low attention span social media world these days, but you know what? It's okay to break free from that. It's okay to read studies and read full articles and follow up on the information. It's okay to do that. We all have time to do it. Damn it, man. I'm doing 6 radio shows a week. I'm writing every day. I'm, you know, working on a crowdfunding campaign. And I'm a father of joint custody responsibilities and a full-time job. And I go to the gym twice a week. And I try to have a bit of a slow social life and spend time with friends every week. If I can do it, you can do it. Come on, people. Read the darn studies. All right, I'm digressing too much. Continuing with this article. Going down the rabbit hole of the Calorie Control Council. Many of the dollars being used to promote the belief that all calories are created equal come from the Calorie Control Council. This is just a nonprofit group of junk food and chemical companies that have banded together to sponsor research to provide evidence-based claims, and that's in evidence-based claims is in quotes, that their low-calorie processed food is good for you. They offer free accredited educational courses to help drive their point home. Oh, maybe I should take that and then take a dump on all the work that they do. That's actually not a bad idea. Like, to digress again, I'm sorry if I'm digressing too much, but when these thoughts come to mind, it's good to get them out. but I'm just actually, like, super excited to click all the links in these articles and talk about them individually. Yeah, I might do that. After the Saturday show, I might just take a few minutes and click on all these links and then spread them out through next week's shows, and I can talk a little bit about every show next week, because this is just so much good information here in the article itself, but provided in these hyperlinks. But continuing, their members include Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, McNeil Nutritionals, Splenda, Nutrinova, Ace K, and Aji. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. A company that produces aspartame. And they own several propaganda websites, including aspartame.org and calorieskount.com. These new food inventions are ruining your health. While cutting calories might help you lose weight in the short term, it can be horrible for your long-term health. This is because the ingredients that the industry is packaging up for us are designed to increase their profits while expanding our addiction to their food-like concoctions, which eventually expands our waistlines too. Many packaged low-calorie diet foods contain ingredients that can rob us of our health, some cause us to eat more than we should, and most of which you would never cook with at home. Artificial sweeteners, sugar, refined flour, preservatives, GMOs, which include soybean oil, canola, corn syrup, etc. And just a quick side note, if those products weren't GMO, they'd still be awful for you. Trans fat, partially hydrogenated oils, MSG, hidden MSG, artificial colors, natural and artificial flavors. Now, just a quick example for my own self, something along the lines of yeast extract, would be a source of hidden MSG. And unfortunately, every once in a while, I'll come across a vegan meat product, which is not meat, it's vegan, that's non-GMO Project verified, not necessarily organic, but contains some organic ingredients. And then I'll be disappointed to learn that the company is putting MSG in the products, and I will, or yeast extract in there, you know, once you read the ingredients, and say, oh, well, I'm not able to eat this because they're putting something in there that's going to make me eat more of it than I want to because it's tricking my brain. So I'll have to look at a good resource and maybe do a good segment on the hidden MSGs, actually. Yeah, folks, I know it's live radio, but I'm writing that down. Hidden MSGs, Saturday. Boom. Okay, back to the article. Foodbabe.com, weight loss secrets, food industry doesn't want you to know. For example, a Weight Watcher Smart Ones lemon herb chicken piccata meal rings in at just 250 calories, yet it contains a shocking number of harmful additives, including sodium phosphate, partially hydrogenated oil, high fructose corn syrup, caramel coloring, and a lot of hidden MSG. None of the ingredients are organic or non-GMO verified, and it's full of sugar and corn-derived ingredients. You think that chicken would be the main ingredient, but cooked white meat chicken is near the very bottom of the ingredient list. I can go on. I truly find it sad that anyone considers this healthy food, and I will agree to that. Speaking of healthy, I checked out the ingredients on the container of Healthy Choice Country Vegetable Soup, which has only 100 calories. What could possibly be unhealthy about veggie soup? Turns out a lot. Their soup contains soybean oil, sugar, and hidden MSG. They get away with the term healthy on their label only because they meet the FDA definition of healthy. Oh, I'm going to have to look at that. That's probably hilarious. It's probably like a Saturday Night Live sketch of real health. But definitely not me. Try this Mexican lentil soup recipe instead, and now there's an image comparing the two. So Healthy Choice Country Vegetable, ingredient number one is water. So who knows the source of that water? Is it coming from a municipal tap source full of fluoride and chlorine and other types of chemicals, or obviously not purified water? Ingredient number two, tomato puree, water and tomato paste. And you know, if you follow the Vegas Valley Organics page, which is again my sponsor, facebook.com/getveggies.com. You saw a one of the more popular vlogs I did was 35 different pesticides found in conventional tomatoes, some of which were, you know, neurotoxins, endocrine disruptors, caused reproductive issues. So other ingredients include carrots, celery, corn, which is probably GMO, potatoes, which could be GMO in the near future, diced tomatoes with juice, green zucchini, kidney beans, peas, green beans, less than 2% of lima beans, modified cornstarch, vegetable juice concentrate blend, carrot, tomato, natural flavor, whatever that is, celeriac, I don't know what that is, I'm going to look that up, celeriac. CELERIAC, startpage.com. We don't do the Google here. It's a turnip rooted celery or knob celery is a variety of the celery cultivated for edible roots. Okay, well, that is quite interesting. So going back to the article, we're still on the ingredients. Spinach, lettuce, red beet, salt, more salts, sauteed vegetables, carrots, celery, onions, flavoring. What the heck is flavoring? Who knows? Potassium chloride, because that's comes from a farm. Sugar, probably from GMO beets. Soybean oil, spice. Just a spice, you don't know what spice that is. So that could be another hidden form of MSG. Dextrose, maltodextrin, garlic powder, more modified food starch. Citric acid, yeast extract, disodium guanylate, and inosinate, which are those are ingredients I've never heard of, natural flavor, calcium chloride, oleoresin, paprika. I don't know about you, but I come from a generation of farmers who've been farming disodium, guanylate, and dextrose for a millennia. So don't tell me that's not real food, food babe. Sarcasm. Don't take it serious, people. I'm just joking. Eat this instead. Extra virgin olive oil, yellow onion. Oh, Mexican lentil soup, by the way. Extra virgin olive oil, yellow onion, celery, carrots, garlic, lentils, vegetable broth, crushed tomatoes, jalapeno, cumin, coriander, sea salt, pepper, cilantro, sprouted corn tortillas, optional toppings is avocado, goat cheese, which let's skip the goat cheese, we don't need that, lime, make an advance and freeze in individual portions, recipe available at foodbabe.com. I said in the comments, I talked earlier about Eat This, Not That, that awful book. Not giving you healthier choices, but giving you less unhealthy choices. And those guys would probably put the healthy choice as the Eat This version of it and put an even worse soup as the Not That version of it. So this is kind of a legitimate version of Eat This, Not That. I guess that's the best way to say it. But continuing with the article, who doesn't love ice cream? I know I do. When I found out there's a skinny ice cream on the market, I admit I was a little excited. That was until I read the box on the skinny cow mint ice cream sandwiches, and I found a complete freak show of artificial colors. Blue 1, yellow 5, caramel, and carrageenan on the ingredient label. Try this coconut milk recipe instead. And we have another image here of, I'll read these ingredients. Eat this, or the skinny cow, avoid the skinny cow mint ice cream sandwiches. Eat this instead, coconut milk ice cream with three flavors. You want the coconut milk ice cream, again, recipe available at foodbabe.com. Skinny cow mint ice cream sandwiches, skim milk, wafer, bleached wheat flour, bleached, that's good, awesome. Who doesn't like bleach in their food? Sugar, caramel color, dextrose, palm oil, corn flour, cacao, baking soda, corn syrup, modified cornstarch, salt, mono and diglycerides, soy lecithin, lecithin, sugar, corn syrup, polydextrose, whey protein, cream, calcium carbonate, inulin, dietary fiber, microcrystalline cellulose. Oh, that sounds good. I haven't had a good bowl of microcrystalline cellulose in months. Propylene, glycol, monostearate, guar gum, natural flavor, monoglycerides, sorbitol. And, look, dude, I consider myself a fairly intelligent guy, but when I'm getting to words that I'm having trouble pronouncing, hey, don't eat that. Sorbitol, carabine gum, yellow 5, sodium, carboxymethylcellulose. That's a big word. Blue 1, citric acid, vitamin A, palmitate, carrageenan, salt. And just a weird picture of this cow like posing in what one might consider like a sexy position is pretty freaky and disturbing. Many diet processed foods contain artificial chemical sweeteners because they're low calorie, such as in Yoplait 100 calorie Greek yogurt sweetened with Splenda, which is linked to leukemia and the acesulfame potassium, which is ACE-K, which is processed with a carcinogen methyl chloride. Even the FDA admits that the methylene chloride is used in processing ACE-K, but deemed it is safe nonetheless because the FDA is worthless. Where additive has not been shown to cause cancer, even though it contains a carcinogenic impurity, The added is not subject to legal effect of the Delaney cause, not to mention that Yoplait also includes sugar that may be from GMO sugar beets, and the milk likely comes from cows fed a GMO grain diet. There's nothing healthy about Yoplait. Try this chia fruit salad pudding instead. And again, recipe for the chia fruit salad pudding is at foodbabe.com. Yoplait Greek yogurt, 100 calories. Strawberry contains pasteurized grade A non-fat milk. Strawberries, water, sugar, cornstarch, natural flavor, carmine. Lemon juice concentrate, sucralose, acesulfame, potassium, vitamin A, acetate, vitamin D3. When I began investigating packaged low-calorie food, I was outraged with what I found. This upset me because I know people are really trying to eat right. Many of you are trying to choose healthy food and believe that these packaged low-calorie foods are a good choice. I also know that many of you are ticked off about what's happening in the food industry, and upon reading my investigations and finding out the truth, you say, "Tell me what I can eat. That's my favorite brand. Oh no, I was addicted to that. I just fed that insert product to my child this morning. What am I supposed to do now?" Now, I could say this, you know, we're going to finish this article up, and, you know, Bonnie Hari is going to give you her suggestions. But this show in itself is about personal empowerment. So a lot of the feedback I get sometimes is you talk about the problem, but you don't get the solution. And that's true some of the time, not all the time. Sometimes I talk about problems without solutions. A lot of times I give problems and I give solutions. But like I always say, above all else, the purpose of this show is to add value to your lives and make you the best version of yourself possible. Now, for one to be your guru, in my opinion, doesn't make you the best version of yourself possible. So it's your responsibility as someone who wants to be healthy, someone who wants to see a better food system, especially if you're a parent, it's your responsibility to do the follow-up research. Again, I'm going to give as many solutions as I can, and when I'm done talking about this article, I'm going to talk about a little bit about my dietary habits and fasting and intermittent fasting. But at the end of the day, stop saying to people, "Hey, you're not giving me enough solutions." Get the solution yourself. I'm doing radio and been doing it for over 2 years now because I took initiative, because I was a father who said, "Man, I'm not going to be able to keep eating this stuff and feeding it to my kid. What can I do?" The answer is called research. So don't, it's just my advice. Take it as you want. Health Conspiracy Radio, Natural News, foodbabe.com. Consider all these one source in your journey of research to become the best version of yourself possible and eating as healthy as you possibly can, doing the best with what you have and improving upon that is the key to be the best version of yourself possible. Because it doesn't matter what your goals in life are outside of your healthy dietary habits, health should be the foundation of your life. Because health leads to energy. You could be on this earth for another 50 years with poor energy, or you could be on this earth for another 30 years with excellent energy, and you're going to do more in that 30 years than you would with that extra 20 years, because energy is everything. Energy is everything. Energy is everything. Was I clear on that point? Okay, let's move on with the article. "I've heard your concerns. It comes down to getting back into our kitchen and cooking real food at home using the least processed ingredients as possible. When you eat whole foods, especially plant-based foods that are low in sugar, such as leafy greens, vegetables, and fermented foods, you optimize your gut bacteria. Recent research tells us that healthy gut bacteria is the key to healthy weight, and scientists are continuing to discover this phenomenon. Similar to how antibiotics, which destroy gut bacteria, are used to fatten up farm animals, it only makes sense that an unhealthy gut could fatten us up too. There's mounting evidence that artificial sweeteners, preservatives, pesticides, food packaging materials, high fructose corn syrup, colors, and other food additives contribute to obesity. The effects are complex. Some of these chemicals increase the number of fat cells, others expand the size of fat cells, and still others influence appetite, cravings, fullness, and how well the body burns calories. When you eat crappy chemicals, your body becomes a fat, toxic waste dump. Oh my God, don't say the word fat. That's shaming people. No, it's not. If you're fat, you're fat. And if you don't want to be fat, then don't get offended when people say the word fat and lose the weight. Like, I don't want to digress into this, but I got it. Actually, you know what? I will digress. I'm going to go into the comments and read a comment. If it's still here. I don't know if it was like spam or not. Anyway, I don't think it's worth looking into, but someone said on here in the comments what I saw yesterday. Hi, just so you know, Vonnie, when you got that newsletter and you sent the word fat was in there, like, I unsubscribed. And first of all, look, people, there's this whole kind of like holier-than-thou attitude, like, I'll unsubscribe to your newsletter, I'll unsubscribe to your YouTube channel. It's like, hey, unsubscribe, who cares? I'll move on. Everyone will move on. But anyway, I'm digressing into a subject of negativity and worthlessness. But hey, you know, sometimes the word fat needs to be used. Never in an insulting way, but it is what it is. So when you eat crappy chemicals, your body becomes a fat, toxic waste dump. Yale researchers conducted a scientific review comparing popular diets and found that it's best to just eat unprocessed food. They concluded a diet of minimally processed food close to nature, predominantly plants, is decisively associated with health promotion and disease prevention. The case that we should indeed eat true food, mostly plants, is all but incontrovertible. This seems so logical, yet it's a radical idea. One thing for sure, they are discovering what I've known all along. Simply eating food is where it's at, and I'm never turning back. Can you imagine if all of us simply stopped buying processed food full of additives? We'd change the world. I know that many of you don't know where to start or even how to cook. Believe me, I've been there. I figured out how to navigate this overprocessed food world, and I'm going to show you how to do it with ease, peace of mind, and an easy-to-follow plan. My new book, The Food Babe Way, will help you do that and opt out of this broken system and finally break free from the grips of the food industry. We can't control what they are doing to our food, but we can control what we put in our mouths every day. You know, non-compliance. My words. The habits you will learn from the Food Babe Way will take the guesswork out of that. I created it for myself, my family and friends, and all of you. And best of all, if you get the hardcover book now, I'll give you one of my favorite workout videos, plus access to the ultimate shopping guide you will not want to live without. It includes lists for every major grocery store in America and top weight loss foods, so you can have tools to help you succeed in all this madness. Order the book and free bonuses here. Do you know someone who is counting calories? Please share this post with them. It's time we get the truth out to everyone. Yay, emphasis added. So great article. And I'll just add I had someone on Facebook message me the other day. Random guy. In Las Vegas, too. A couple of mutual friends. And whenever someone, or actually even messaged me, he friend requested me. Whenever someone friend requests me, I try to keep it classy, son. And I say, hey, thank you for the friend request, so-and-so. And he's like, no, I should thank you. I'm trying to lose weight, get healthy. I want to go vegetarian and vegan and do this. And I said, hey, man, here's where you start. One meal a day that's organic and vegan, full of plants, unprocessed food. Do that every day for a month, maybe 2 months. Then move on to the next meal. do that every day for a month or 2 months, then by time you're at the end of the, you know, the third or fourth month eating two healthy meals and one disgusting meal that you've been eating, it's you're going to change how you feel about that third meal. The neurological, the neurons in the brain are going to fire in a different way, where you're no longer associating pleasure with the conventional standard American diet food options. You're going to start to associate pain with that, discomfort with that, because you're going to feel the difference. So that's like as basic as I can get as far as advice goes. And I know in the book, there's a 21-day habit-making plan. I tend to disagree with making changes that quick, just due to the fact that our dietary habits are a part of our subconscious programming. And for most people, they won't change in that time. But hey, I encourage you to try it. If that doesn't work, then take those 21 habits and do those over the course of 21 weeks. That's a little bit more reasonable for most people. Change one habit per week. Make it a weekly ritual. Every Sunday evening, you review the next habit and say, okay, starting tomorrow, no more of that. Well, starting now, you know, I'm no longer doing this, whatever the habit might be. But again, I haven't read the book. It's not out yet. I was told I was getting an advanced copy, but I don't know if I will or if I'll get it in time to do a blog about it. I could definitely do a show about it. But anyway, great article up at foodbabe.com. Took up almost the whole damn show. I had so much prepared. I spent so much time on one article, but it was worth it. And like I said, I'm going to go through a lot of these propaganda links and cover one of these articles a day. It's okay to eat Hostess cupcake link, the artificial sweetener, beverageinstitute.org webinar. I don't know if I'll watch the web. Maybe I'll listen to the webinar while I'm at work. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to go through all these links this weekend and cover one or two each show next week for all six live shows. In the Tuesday show, again, Dr. Somia Sridharan, that won't be on Blog Talk Radio. That will be on naturalnews.com. Along as Health Conspiracy TV. I don't have a handle for that yet because you need 500 subscribers to get a handle. I only got two. So if you hear this, go to healthconspiracy.com, find the Health Conspiracy TV link. I'll put it up in the categories eventually. I'm busy and don't do everything that I can in the time that I want to. But it's well worth checking that interview out. We'll be up Sunday. Dr. Somia Sridharan is absolutely phenomenal. But let's talk about my current dietary habits. Let's talk about fasting. Let's talk about intermittent fasting. So, you know, maybe time's getting low. Maybe I'll just talk about my personal experience. And then on tomorrow's show, I will talk about these articles and studies that I wanted to cite. For newbies, for health conspiracy radio newbies, fasting is when you don't eat food for a extended period of time. Now, immediately, mind goes, oh my God, you don't eat food? How do you miss a meal? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? You got to eat, bro. Actually, you don't. Eventually, you have to eat. It's not about starvation. But when you digress from food for a period of time, amazing things happen to your body. It allows your body to detox, because when your body is focused on digesting food, there's other things that the body would like to be doing but is unable to do due to the process of digestion. And one thing I've said is that breakfast, lunch, and dinner is not encoded into human DNA. In fact, breakfast, lunch, and dinner is part of the health conspiracy marketing scheme. For the longest time, I was eating, you know, I eat legumes almost on a daily basis, big part of my diet. Black beans, chickpeas, lentils are my favorites. Sometimes I'll mix in some yellow split peas, maybe some pinto beans or navy beans in the mix, tempeh as well, organic tempeh, which is fermented soybeans. But for the longest time, I was eating this big bowl of mixed vegetables and black beans or lentils for breakfast. And intuitively, I felt like, I don't want to eat this right now. But the mind beat out of intuition in saying that, no, you got to have breakfast. You got to have breakfast. Then I started doing something. It was actually an interview I did with Liam Sheff, or he was interviewing me for the Robert Scott Bell Show, and he was like the one that said breakfast is a marketing ploy. Not everyone needs to eat breakfast. And as he said that, like, the mind acknowledged intuition and said, oh my God, I've been feeling like this, that I don't need breakfast. So the funny thing started happening. Instead of eating at 6 in the morning, which was my schedule at the time, I started eating that breakfast at 11 in the morning. And this amazing thing happened. I felt better. Not that I felt bad before, but I felt better. My energy was better. I enjoyed the meal more. It tasted better. It was more satisfying to me. So I started looking at intermittent fasting. And if I'm remembering correctly, I first heard of it from Dr. McCullough. So if you go to McCullough.com and type in intermittent fasting. Actually, you know what? For tomorrow's show, I'll cite one of his articles. Because there's an article I'm going to talk about, which is a pretty not a good thought out article that's saying intermittent fasting is bad for you. So I will counter that with a Dr. McCullough article and counter that with my personal experience, which I'll talk about now. God, we're running out of time. I spent the whole show on that Food Babe article. But what I found was when I started eating later, I felt better. Eating later in the day as eating later in the morning. But what I also find is that when I eat later in the evening, too close to bedtime, it affects me the next day. I still feel that food sitting in my stomach. I notice my sleep isn't as good. My energy isn't as great the next day. And that's the main benefit I got when I started doing intermittent fasting, just eating within a 8-hour period. My sleep improved tenfold. I slept all through the night. Again, I didn't realize how bad my sleep habits were until they improved. So for me, those are just two benefits. So right now, I do intermittent fasting almost 7 days a week. Exceptions are made when maybe I'm out socially and having a dinner with friends. I never eat out, but I will once Vegination opens up in downtown Las Vegas. But by the way, in case you haven't heard, I was hired to make their menu non-GMO. Well, we'll talk about that place more when it opens up. But anyway, yeah, so unless I'm eating out with friends or having a dinner with friends, I eat between 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. about 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, I won't say I do it the whole time, but Monday through Friday, I typically eat zero processed foods, zero refined foods. Now, hemp oil is processed, the coconut oil is processed, but those foods are still in their natural state. And the typical meal is a green smoothie in the morning, which, and I'll have to link up the rest. I always talk about this green smoothie and put the recipe on naturalnews.com. So again, it's kale or some other green, purified water, frozen banana, another source of fruit, ground chia, avocado. Sometimes I add avocado for coconut butter. Hemp protein. Now I'm adding the pure radiance, 100% whole food, organic vitamin C, a little aspartame, stevia, the good organic stevia. That's sweet, aspartame. Being silly people. And I think that's all the ingredients. So I'll have one of those in the morning, and also have one of those in the evening. And then between that, I'll have a big bowl of some sort of mixed vegetables, organic vegetables from Vegas Valley Organics. Usually a variety of 3 to 6 different vegetables run through the food processor, so they're easier to chew and digest. Usually with some type of legume and hemp oil, sometimes coconut oil, Then I'll usually have that with some maybe some salsa, typically mustard and hot sauce and pink Himalayan salt. And maybe once in a while I'll throw some black pepper or cumin, but I don't use many spices. The condiments and the pink salt do it pretty well. And that's it. Green smoothie around 11, big meal around 3, another green smoothie around 6:30 or 7. I'd like to give at least 3 hours between the last meal and bedtime, but, you know, it's a green smoothie that digests fairly quickly, so sometimes 2 hours is sufficient. And that's my typical day of intermittent fasting. And before the show ends, you know, I have a goal to actually fast 90 days out of the year. But before I get into that, that's something that I need to study more. I'm going to read the book Rational Fasting, which was recommended by me by someone who fasts the first 7 days of every month. And how I'm going to do that is, you know, I've fasted for weekends before. And when I say fast, too, maybe some raw organic juice will be in for the latter portion of the fast. But for the most part, it's just not eating and drinking clean water or lemon water or water with apple cider vinegar, maybe some essential oils in it. But how I'm starting that is doing 1 weekend per month. Then once I get used to that, doing every other Wednesday. Once I get used to that, doing every Wednesday. No food every Wednesday. And once I get used to that, slowly but surely, once a quarter, once every 3 months, adding a day to that weekend to the point where I'm going from 1 weekend to the next and doing a 7, maybe a 9-day fast. 7 should be sufficient. But again, this is going to take... What I'm talking about, that long-term thing where I am fasting 1 weekend per month for 7 to 9 days per quarter and every Wednesday of the year, you know, we're talking long-term implementation, thinking long-term, long-term time perspective on this. Definitely it'll take more than a year. And this is once I actually start studying it through the Rational Fasting book, again, which is recommended to me from someone that does it often. And also the same author... I'll have to put up links in the show notes if I remember. But the same author has a book called The Mucus-Free Diet, which is interesting. Once I learned about this book, I noticed when I would eat organic corn chips, I would get a cough of something in my throat. It makes me want to spit out some phlegm because it's causing mucus in my system. So that's one of the foods I'm definitely giving up this year. Let's end the show. Wow. Thank you for listening. I really love and appreciate that you allow me into your day. Again, you know, pretty cool to spend almost the whole time covering one article. I'm gonna cover, you know, I just very, very briefly covered the fasting and intermittent fasting. So tomorrow I'm going to go over some of the studies saying fasting for 3 days can regenerate your entire immune system. A study that says intermittent fasting can lead to a weak immune system. I'm going to tell you why I disagree with that study. I'm going to talk about a Mercola article in there. I'm going to compare the intermittent fasting that I talked about to the 5-2 diet, which is categorized under intermittent fasting, but it's very different from what I do, and why I kind of disagree with the authors of that book, because I did hear the audio version of that book. But that's it. Hey, healthconspiracy.com is the website if you want to help me out. Above all else, if you like this show, tell 10 friends about it. Hey, if you don't like the show, tell 10 friends about it, because haters can be the best marketing source of anyone at times. So, again, thank you for listening to Health Conspiracy Radio. My name is Nick Brandigan. HealthConspiracy.com is the website. I'll see you tomorrow.